Grace and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our gospel this morning is Mark chapter 13, beginning with the 32nd verse. Jesus says, "No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Watch, be alert, and pray, because you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going away on a journey. When he left his home, he put his servants in charge and assigned what each one was to do. He also commanded the doorkeeper to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house is coming, whether in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows or early in the morning. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, keep watch." Dear friends in Christ, who doesn't love Christmas carols? There are so many of them, and it's very easy to access them because you can just turn your radio to that one station that plays them all month long, or you can set your Spotify or whatever to a channel that will play them constantly. Christmas carols from 20, 30 years ago, from 50, 60, 70 years ago. Christmas carols that were written long before that. It's fun to hear those Christmas carols because they prepare us for that special day of Christmas. And that's what Advent is supposed to do. Prepare us for the coming of Jesus. But Jesus comes not once, but twice. First at Christmas, the second at the end of time. Jesus promises to return. And so Advent prepares us for both comings. And this Advent, we're going to look at a treasury, a whole treasury of Christmas carols to hook us into the lesson, and then we'll look to God's Word to book us or to conflict us and console us, to convict us of our sin and give us comfort as we wait and as we watch for Jesus' second coming. This morning, our first Christmas carol was written by a pastor. The Reverend Benjamin Russell Hanby wrote a Christmas favorite over 150 years ago in Westerville, Ohio, for a church sing-along. And ever since, we have been singing "Up on the Housetop, Click, Click, Click." You know the one. It talks about the clicking of reindeer hooves as they pause on the rooftop, and out comes Santa Claus, good old Santa Claus, with lots of toys. Those are the Christmas joys in the song written by this pastor. A few other thoughts from that Christmas carol. Fill little Nell and Will's stockings well. There's a dolly that laughs and cries. Will gets a hammer and a ball and a whip. What joy. Now, how does this match with a sermon text that is so somber? Well, because so many people see Santa Claus as the savior of Christmas. After all, he comes to bring all kinds of things, all kinds of blessings, all kinds of toys from above. But with Santa, while you might stay up and try, it's pretty normal to fall asleep before he comes. And you don't suffer any consequences if you're not awake and watching. How much more serious it is if we find ourselves asleep and faithless when the Son of God returns, when Jesus Christ himself comes in the flesh. And so Jesus is the only Savior to stay up for. Mark 13 happens on a Tuesday morning of Holy Week, just 2 days before Jesus is arrested and put on trial and eventually put to death. On Tuesday of Holy Week, Jesus is walking through the temple complex which King Herod had built up for years and years, and people around him are noting how magnificent and how beautiful the temple complex is. And Jesus takes the opportunity in Mark chapter 13 to explain once again the end times and his second coming. And he doesn't tell us all these big complicated things. He doesn't give us a code that we have to break. He simply says to watch, to be alert, and to pray. And he repeats it again, keep watch. Keep looking for Jesus' second return. You notice he adds to this that no one knows about that day or hour. It's not extra complicated. He doesn't say it with a wink and a nudge. He doesn't have us crack a code. He says no one knows when that's going to happen. As you know, people are the worst at this, at not knowing when Jesus is going to come. There's so many false prophets out there who can read the weather but not the signs of the times. Do you know how many people have tried to predict the coming of Jesus Christ, his second return? Well, I suppose if we counted them all up, it would be about as accurate as actually predicting Jesus' second coming, because a whole lot of people have tried to predict when he would come. A couple of names come to mind. There was a false prophet on the radio named Harold Camping who predicted Jesus' return in 1994. And when that didn't happen, in 1995. And then he built up another following and he predicted the end of the world in 2011. And again, when that didn't happen, in 2012. I haven't heard a lot about Harold Camping since. Or consider William Miller. He's the founder of the Adventist movement, most notably the Seventh-day Adventists. He was originally a Baptist preacher and predicted the end of the world in 1843. And then when that didn't happen, in 1844, it was known as the Great Disappointment when Jesus Christ did not come. Sadly, a whole lot of people left not just the Adventist movement. Some of them went back to their Christian churches before they started following William Miller. But a lot more people left Christianity altogether because this false prophet predicted the end of the world. And it didn't happen. But it's been a prediction for so many years across Christian history. It goes all the way back to early times. Hippolytus of Rome and Irenaeus, normally not very bad teachers in the church, but both of them predicted the end of the world in 500 AD because they added up the dimensions of Noah's Ark and decided because it amounts to 500, that's when Jesus Christ would return. What do each of these predictions tell us? Very simply put, what Jesus himself tells us, that his second coming cannot be predicted. It's okay to admit we don't know when. Do you know why it's okay to admit we don't know when Jesus is going to return? It's because the angels themselves don't even know when Jesus is coming. They get it wrong in his parable about the wheat and the weeds. They get it wrong from time to time, even though they're holy creatures and sinless, confirmed in holiness in heaven. They still don't know when the Son of Man is going to return. In fact, Jesus says the Son of Man himself doesn't even know. He has chosen to set aside his omniscience, his knowledge in full, so that he leaves it up to the Father himself in total dependence and trust. That's why it's okay for us to admit that we don't know it. Not even angels, not even Jesus Christ himself choose to know when he will return. Very simply put, no one knows. You can compare that to the coming of someone in a Christmas carol like up on the housetop, click, click, click. We know when it's supposed to happen. It's supposed to happen every year on one evening, December 24th. Sometime during the night, Santa Claus good old jolly Saint Nick is supposed to show up. We expect the clicking of reindeer feet, but it's not anything to warn the sleepy. All Santa's going to do is leave presents. And by design, Santa doesn't want you to witness his coming. Jesus, however, tells us to be alert, to be on the watch. He's very clear about that. He says it and he repeats it. Now, what does he mean by saying, be alert, be on the watch, keep watch, and pray? Well, Jesus, in order for us to look ahead to his second coming, Jesus wants us to look to his first coming, when he first came as a little human baby, true God and also true man. He wants us to remember and celebrate the first victory that he had as our God when he triumphed over sin by living perfectly for us and dying innocently in our place. And so Jesus prepares us for every oncoming battle that we face in this life. This is a place where the devil and the unbelieving world and our own sinful flesh want us to get drowsy. You could compare our lives to a world of darkness as we wander around from gloomy cloud of darkness to gloomy cloud of darkness. We have this light of joy, the fact that Jesus has done it for us. He's conquered sin and death and been our king, and he rose from the dead on our behalf. But the devil couldn't love it more if we begin to forget his promises. If we begin to forget all those good things that Jesus has done for us. If our light slowly fades in this world of darkness. Just imagine forgetting God's promises. How could we possibly do that? And yet, many Christians have fallen from grace. Enough for Jesus to warn us to keep watch. Nothing is quite as effective on our hearts either as pleasures and wealth. Because when our stomachs are full, then we really run out of any need and we stop looking to our Savior Jesus Christ. We wrap ourselves in the darkness of our sin and we forget. We even forget God's promises that save us. The only way to be ready, and it's a way to be ready at all times, the only way to be ready is by faith alone. And that's the other reason why it's okay to admit we don't know when Jesus is going to return. If we knew, then we might be lulled into sin and distraction for a time. And then when Jesus finally did return, we would have forgotten to prepare ourselves again. Jesus very intentionally sets aside the knowledge of his return, it seems, for his disciples, for people like you and I who would follow after him, so that we would always be ready. And not only will we be ready by not knowing when he returns, but it will be a joyful preparation. Listen to what the scriptures say in Revelation 19, verse 7. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. The wedding of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. Or in Romans 13, verse 11. Our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Or in 1 Peter 4, verse 7. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. By faith alone, not knowing when Jesus will return is a delightful expectation. Up on the housetop is a great tune. We wait for the click, click, click of reindeer on the roof, if we can stay up for it. We listen for the ho, ho, ho of a heavenly messenger, and we perhaps, if we're caught up in the spirit of worldly Christmas, set our hopes on Christmas presents, all the gifts that we get to gather on the day of. But who is the greater arrival from above? Who is the messenger on whom we should set our hearts and our hopes? It's nothing more than a little baby, and nothing less than a great Redeemer. He is our hero. He is the only Savior to wait up for. He is Jesus Christ. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, continue to prepare our hearts this Advent. Continue to fill us with joy. Yes, the joys of blessings you've set around us, both our needs as well as the luxuries that you put on top. But Lord, set our hearts more fully on the grace of you, what you've done for us as the perfect gift for us. Help us to look to you alone as the only Savior to stay up for. In Jesus' name, amen.